Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to the broadcast, everyone. I want to take a moment and get away from kind of the political, what's going on, especially in this holiday. But I also want to talk to you about a holiday weekend. I want to talk to you about a case that we have involving a Christian pastor named Andrew Brunson. He's from North Carolina, been ministering in Turkey for 23 years. CeCe Heil, senior attorney at the ACLJ, has been handling this really heart-tugging case. It's a very difficult situation. I think it's appropriate to start, CeCe, by let's talk about what happened here. Here's a guy that's been ministering in Turkey for 23 years, never had an issue. And then they had the coup last year, which I think there's a lot of people think that whole thing was a put up for Erdogan to get more power. What happened to him? What happened to his church?
Right. After that failed coup attempt, Erdogan just started gathering up anybody who was an opponent. And Pastor Brunson got kind of caught up in that. And so he has
been
detained.
But he had
detained.
Never taken a, you know, it's one thing if you're going to, you know, I don't like the fact that they would round up their opponents.
Right.
But was the pastor wasn't an opponent.
Never an opponent, but some Christians got rounded up in that because, you know, you have an Islamic regime, and so Christians are somewhat of an opponent there.
Yeah.
And he got rounded
deemed
up.
Deemed to be, yeah.
Deemed to be an opponent. That's correct. He'd been a pastor, like you said, 23 years, no problems whatsoever. And now he's been sitting in prison for 330 days.
So we're going to talk about the charges in the next segment of the broadcast, but he's got a family. Talk about his family. Talk about his wife. He's got kids.
Right.
And what were they doing in Turkey? I mean, what they've been a missionary there for 23 years. What were they doing? Describe the kind of activities of the church and what the pastor was doing in his family.
He's been a pastor for 23 years at the Resurrection Church with his wife, Noreen, and their three children.
This is in Izmir, Turkey.
Izmir, Turkey.
Right.
And just a pastor, just a normal life. The three kids were brought up there. They see Turkey as their home. It's a shock to all of them because this is not the Turkey that they know.
And they were not, again, they were not politically involved. They weren't part of a political process. They were just simply engaged in the proclamation of the gospel. And for that, he ends up in jail.
That's correct. Preaching Jesus. That's all he was over there.
And he was now been in jail for how long?
330 days today.
So we are just a month away from 1 year.
Right. Correct.
So he's been held in a Turkish prison. Turkey is a NATO ally. So people are thinking, well, why would a NATO ally do this?
And that's the question. We don't understand. I'm incredulous that we have a NATO ally that would keep a Christian pastor in jail with no evidence whatsoever. They've had 330 days. They do not have any evidence. They have not presented any evidence to him. And he still sits in jail for 330 days.
Isn't the explanation for this, though, because we view Turkey as a NATO ally, but the fact of the matter is Erdogan's taken into an Islamic regime.
Yes, and he just keeps giving himself more powers. After the constitutional referendum, after he declared a state of emergency, after that failed coup, so he does these emergency decrees, and he just keeps giving himself more and more power.
I sometimes say he's basically no different than an Ayatollah, except he wears a suit.
That's true. I mean, he almost has complete power there, and that's the way he likes it.
Yeah. So what happens is this pastor gets picked up. He's been in jail now for, we're just 1 month shy of a year. So this is tragic. And this has been tough on his family, too. What are the conditions for the pastor? I mean, jail in Turkey can't be pleasant in any circumstance.
It's not. For the majority of his sentence, he was in a cell that was built for eight, and he was in it with 22 other prisoners. All of them were
built for eight, and it was housing 22.
That's correct. And all of them were Muslim. He was the only Christian. So, just very crowded, very hot in the summer. It has just not been. He was recently transferred, and but the conditions are not any better. It's still hot in a Turkish prison cell, and I can't imagine that any prison cell is a great place to be. But especially in Turkey, and especially when you're an innocent man and you have no charges that you can even defend against.
Yeah, I mean, the tragedy of this, of course, is the pastor's in jail, separated from his family. When we get back from the break, we're going to talk to you about Pastor Brunson's case. We've got a petition you could sign urging his release. I encourage you to do that at aclj.org. That's aclj.org. And also, pray for the pastor, pray for his family. Very tough situation. We'll get more involved in this when we come back from the break.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation, the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Back to the broadcast, everyone. I want to go away from the political for a day here and discuss a case that we're involved in. You know, we've handled a lot of persecution cases before. Christians being persecuted for their faith, sometimes in the Middle East countries. We had a situation with pastors that have been in jail in South Sudan, in Iran. But we haven't had one where the person is in jail from an ally of the United States, a NATO ally. And Turkey is, believe it or not, but they are, a NATO ally. Yet they are holding a Christian pastor. Again, Cece, let's set the case up for everybody. People may be just joining us now. What is this case about? How did it happen?
Sure. Pastor Brunson's been a pastor in Turkey for 23 years with absolutely no problems. Raised his family there, really just loves the people of Turkey and serving them. After the failed coup attempt last July or July of last year, President Erdogan has been just trying to sweep up anyone who could be deemed an opponent, and Pastor Brunson got caught up in that. He has been now detained for 330 days, almost a full entire year, sitting in prison with his file sealed. He does not know what there is no evidence that they have presented him based on the charges that they have come against him.
Well, let's talk. Let's talk about the charges, though, because what they do is they always charge violation of threats to national security, attempts to overthrow the government. You understand that it's not that it's right, but when the Sudanese do it, when the Iranians do it, you say, okay, that's just part of their stuff here. But this again is that Turkey is a NATO ally. That means we have an ongoing relationship. By the way, the president, the vice president, the secretary of state have demanded his release. But so far, Turkey's not budging on it. So let's talk about what are they charging him with? And then they just upped the charges. But let's talk about the initial charges here.
The initial charges. When he was first brought into migration management, it was just like you said, it was, you know, national security threat, just kind of the general. When they moved him to full prison, then they charged him with being a member of an armed terrorist organization.
And who are they were talking about there when they say an armed terrorist organization?
From what we can tell, because the file is sealed, so we don't have any official documents, but just questioning from the judges, it's the Gulenists.
Yeah, so what is a Gulenist? Most people don't know.
Right. Fethullah Gulen is a cleric that Erdogan used to be friends with.
Yeah.
And so he is now over in the United States and takes a separate position than Erdogan does. And so when this coup attempt
neither
happened,
one of these guys are good guys, though, by the way, in my view. They're
correct.
They're both Islamists.
That is right. But they've been at odds. And
yeah.
So now the Erdogan has blamed Gulen for that failed coup attempt.
Which, who knows if that's true? I mean, it could have been that this was nothing but a fake put up so you get more power.
Right. So he has been just scooping up anybody he can tie to
judges, lawyers, yes. judiciary, military officers.
Correct.
Yeah.
To the tune of hundreds of thousands of people that have been fired, imprisoned across the board. And so, again, Pastor Brunson is one that has been caught up in that. With the member of an armed terrorist organization, now new charges that come 322 days later are obtaining government classified information for purposes of political or military espionage.
And what does that mean? So it's an espionage
so he's a
act violation?
So he's a military spy.
That's what they're saying.
He's never served in the military. Attempting to overthrow the government or subvert the government, which, again, he's a pastor. He's never done anything to overthrow the government. He supports, you know, Turkey. And then... again, attempting to overthrow, subvert the functioning of the Turkish Grand National Assembly, and then attempting to overthrow the constitutional order.
So they're basically saying he was engaged in espionage, treasonous acts, violent or attempts to overthrow the government and to harm the country of Turkey.
Yes. And in this latest teleconference he had with the judge, he pleaded his innocence. He's like, I'm not a spy. We don't get that information. We get Pastor Brunson's statement, but we don't get exactly what
the
judge
said. What did the lawyer say about what the judge said?
The lawyer, his attorney, has said he is innocent, and you're holding this man with no evidence. You have not given us a chance.
So what did the judge then say to that lawyer?
He's still detained.
He's still detained,
That's what the final judgment was.
You said that legislatively now he has the authority. I mean, he always had the authority to let him out.
That's correct.
But legislatively now they've changed some of the rules, so Erdogan literally could release him tonight.
Absolutely. And he did that with the latest emergency decree. It was 694, where it basically says he can return a prisoner to his home country just on his...
Has he done that in any case yet that we know of?
Not on any... Now, that just came out last week, so I don't know that he's implemented that. But I would think that would be something that we should really urge him to implement on behalf of Pastor Brunson. If it should ever be executed, it should be for Pastor Brunson.
But they actually are using him, I think, as a form of a bargaining chip politically. But the danger here is this is a Christian pastor that was engaged in Christian ministry. And the end result of what he's experiencing at the hand of our NATO ally is imprisonment with false charges. And by the way, CC gave you the list of charges, but let me tell you what that doesn't mean. That doesn't mean there's been formal charges made against him.
Right.
No indictment.
No indictment has been handed down, even though...
So no trial date?
That's right. No trial date. No, I mean, again, the file is sealed. There's no way to even prepare any defense because there's no concrete evidence. There's no concrete charges that have been filed against him. And even though I think President Erdogan said specifically to President Trump that an indictment would be coming... that the prime minister, which that position no longer is there, but he had stated to Secretary Tillerson that an indictment would be coming, that, you know, this has a judicial process.
And there is no real judicial process.
There is no judicial process. He sits there languishing in prison with nothing.
Because Erdogan is like a king. I mean, that's basically how it operates. All right, so let's talk about what people, because people are going to want to know, what can they do? So let's talk about the various action items we're taking here.
Yes. Well, we've worked with and continue to work with members of Congress who push Secretary Tillerson, the State Department, and our president, and Erdogan himself, work with Ambassador Kilic, who's the Turkish ambassador. So congressional efforts still remain the same. State Department, we deal with the State Department. We deal with the...
Secretary Tillerson has raised the issue on multiple occasions.
Multiple occasions.
The press spokesperson raised it last week.
Yes.
And Secretary Tillerson has spoken with and met with Noreen.
Yes, absolutely.
Pastor Brunson's wife.
And our embassy over there in Turkey, they meet with Pastor Brunson. They keep it at the forefront with the Minister of Justice. So State Department is very engaged.
Yeah, I've talked to the president about this, and he has asked or demanded on three separate occasions the release of this pastor. The vice president has asked and demanded the release of this pastor. So what do you think's at play here? Because you've got a NATO ally, you got the president. This is not like we were having in some of the other cases we had where we were trying to get the previous administration's attention on the case. Here the government attention on the case has been high, but we don't have a release. What do you think's going on here?
Well, obviously, if they really did have a case against Pastor Brunson, we would have had charges that had been handed down, an indictment, and that the case would be going forward.
So what
forward.
Are the charges? You know, we say there's no indictment, but we do have charges. What does that mean?
We do have charges. This is basically what he's been accused of in the investigation stage, and these are in his file, but they are not the official charges because no official charges have been handed down from the prosecutor. The prosecutor has to actually draft an indictment, and then it actually has to be approved. But that has not happened yet.
So he's been in jail for a year with no movement.
Yes, and this is the judge does state that they're still investigating. They're still, you know, trying to find out if these charges are real and the evidence.
Which we know it's all baloney.
That is correct. It's just that there's a suspicion that
so what can the American people do right now?
I think the biggest thing is to, you know, go online, sign our petition, because
ACLJ.org.
That really does help us when we engage with the administration. And I think it helps with Erdogan because...
And you've had some members of the Senate, I'm not going to name names here, that have been very helpful, and a couple that haven't been so helpful.
That is true. Yeah, that is true.
That don't want to look at it in the... I'm not going to name names here. So we have to build support for this.
That is correct.
Not that they're against Pastor Brunson, but they'll say, well, we don't know if we want to get a NATO ally. We don't know if we want to come out that aggressively.
Because politics play a role in it always.
So it's really important for everybody to sign that petition. You can do that at ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We encourage you to sign that petition as well. I want to play a video for you right now about Pastor Brunson's case.
It is a troubling development for an American pastor. Pastor Andrew Brunson, a U.S. citizen from North Carolina, has been working and living in Turkey for more than two decades. Now he is in a Turkish prison. His imprisonment came as a complete surprise to him and his family. He's been falsely charged with, quote, membership in an armed terrorist organization. The charging documents state, quote, no evidence has been gathered against him. Now the American Center for Law and Justice is representing the family, working to put the spotlight on Pastor Andrew. Pastor Andrew must be freed immediately. That's exactly why the ACLJ has launched an international campaign calling for his release. We're mobilizing our international resources, including our offices in the region, demanding Pastor Andrew's freedom. Take action with us right now before it's too late. You can add your name to our petition online. Sign the petition to free American Pastor Andrew Brunson. Add your name online at ACLJ.org. Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. There are so many challenges facing our nation: the rise of ISIS, an emboldened North Korea, and here at home, continuing threats to your free speech and religious liberty, as well as an out-of-control bureaucracy in Washington. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. And if you want to make a difference, stand with the ACLJ and become a member today. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty, engaging the issues that matter most to you and your family, here at home and around the globe. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.
asking us the question. We filed the lawsuit. As I said, I got the federal lawsuit here. We got a response. The response included documents that are sensitive but now unclassified. This document shows that the State Department intentionally edited the video to determine when, in fact, these negotiations with the Iranians held. So this litigation was filed last year. We started getting the responses. But now, why is it relevant to right now? Because right now, Iran Air, who was taken off the sanctions list, they are now utilizing their sources, their air carrier, to get individuals from Iran, jihadists, warriors, terrorists, into Syria. And who knows where else? Also at the same time, Hamas said on Monday that they have repaired relations with Iran after several years of strain and will use restored military and financial aid to face down hostilities with Israel. So you look at this, and I was asking Professor Hutchison, our director of policy, but before the break here, we were during in our break with Facebook and Periscope, why all this is happening. And my question is, what is the impact on Israel?
Well, the impact, I think, is very, very clear. In essence, the United States has unleashed the floodgates of funding for Hamas. That is part and parcel of this process. So in other words, the Iran nuclear deal serves to legitimate Hamas, a recognized terrorist organization and an opponent, an existential threat to Israel.
And they also, Andy, take the State Department takes Iran Air off of the sanctions list.
That's important, Jay. That's very important, because what they do is they take them off the sanctions list and promote deals with, and let's say it, it's true, Boeing aircraft.
Yeah.
In order for them to be able to enter into more engagements with Boeing to buy aircraft. To do what? To act as military transport planes.
Yeah. To destabilize the region that's already destabilized.
Exactly correct. That's already precarious.
So litigation that started last year on events that started 3 years ago under a previous administration become very relevant, because then now you got to go back in and fix this. And that includes going, as you said, we got to go deep.
Absolutely. Well, look, two things I would say. First of all, this letter that Congress wrote to the Treasury Department says, and this is an Obama official talking, that even under the deal, as weak as it was, the United States maintains the ability to designate or redesignate any Iranian airline that engages in sanctionable activity. Jay, we now have photographic evidence of that. So that's number one. But number two, all of the people involved with this, Jay, they need to never touch another foreign negotiation.
Yes.
And you know what? We need to find out those names, because unless we do, they will touch another one.
All right, we're going to go back and take some comments and calls. Logan, you want to take a comment or a call?
Let's take a call. We've had Rod, who's been on hold for a while in Indianapolis. You're on the air.
Hey, Rod, go ahead.
Hey, Jay. I just wanted to call in and find out a couple of things. I mean, from what you're doing a great job.
Thanks.
And I see where you're pulling all this stuff out. You know, we keep hearing this stuff, but I'm not seeing nobody go to jail, go to prison. All we keep hearing is how all this stuff is going down. Then they follow up by coming back on our president and trying to lead us away from this stuff.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you this, though, Rod. I mean, I said this last week. You talk about results. I mean, look what happened in the IRS cases. Yeah, right. No one's in jail. But the IRS of 2013 is not the IRS of 2017. Okay? They're not able to do what they used to do. They're not able to target like they used to target. Lois Lerner's not heading the tax-exempt organization. Yes, she pleaded the fifth. She had the right to do that. She pled the fifth. But let me tell you something. The litigation and the activities have real consequences. It's not always resulting in jail. I mean, and people are looking at this idea that it results in criminality. Most of the time, it's policy changes. And, Harry, those policy changes can be very significant. And we've uncovered a lot here between our FOIA litigation, the documents that we've received, articles that are coming out. We've been able to put together, as Stan just said, a very compelling case. But it's not just jail. It's changing the nature of the policy. That's more important than any of this.
Absolutely. And so one policy change that we should encourage is the placement of sanctions on Iran Air, and also increasing the level of sanctions on the Iranian government designed to deter additional support for terrorist organizations and destabilization in the Middle East.
All right. Let's go ahead. And we're taking calls at 1-800-684-3110. What's your comments, reaction to all of this? 1-800-684-3110. Logan, you want to take a phone call or a comment?
Let's still take a phone call. I think we need to take
clear some lines up and get people to call.
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Especially as we head into the next half hour of Jay Secular Life, which is coming up after this. And if you don't get that, I'll tell you how in just a moment. Let's go to Nancy, California. You're on the air.
Hi, Nancy. Go ahead.
Hi, guys.
Hey.
Hi. Hey, I'm just wondering. So, like, Jason Chaffetz talked yesterday about the whole thing with Sessions and how he told him directly that he cannot and will not loosen things up. What can we, the people, do to make this happen? Because, like, nothing seems to be going forward.
Well, things are going. That's what I'm trying to reiterate. Things are going forward. I mean, we've seen a complete agency turnaround at the IRS, at least, very significantly. And then I think that, but Nancy brings a good question. The question is, now we've got the data. But look, it takes time to get the data. Now you make the moves. Let's lay out for the folks exactly what we're doing in Washington on this, literally right now as we speak. We're talking about this. But again, it doesn't mean people are going to be indicted. It doesn't mean jail. It's policy changes. It's personnel changes. Go ahead, Than.
It's also going to take some time, Jay. People have to be willing to persist in this fight with us, because it's going to take going to court again and again and again, and also going to policymakers and insisting that they make changes. Look, let me say it this way. Lois Lerner being gone is a huge win. James Comey being gone is a huge win.
Right.
But guess who is still in place? Legions of people that answer to those two individuals, and also at the State Department with this situation, Jay. We have to persist until the turnaround has reached all of those mid-tier levels. And I've got to tell you, our people are going to have to stick with us, because we're going to have to go back to court numerous times. It's not one win, it's many wins that accomplish that.
Well, Andy, we were on the phone right before we went on air, and we're talking about the next piece of litigation on this.
That's right, and we intend to follow up on this now that we have additional information with respect to the negotiations between Iran Air and Boeing, the lifting of the sanctions that now facilitated those negotiations of using commercial airliners for military purposes. One step leads to another, Jay. You open one door and you open another window, and you follow the line of reasoning and where it needs to go. And that's exactly what we do at the ACLJ.
Yeah, and folks, we're able to do this on the outside. I mean, this is why organizations like yours make a huge difference.
This is a question that comes up a lot. A lot of people are asking. It came up a year ago, two years ago, we talked about this, which is, why would the president, that time President Obama, want to work with a nation like Iran? What was the benefits?
They had, my view is, I'll let Harry address it too, though. My view was that the president wanted to remake the world in his image, and he thought that by bringing Iran into the world of nations as a legitimate player, that somehow this would be, you know, we would stabilize the region. It's done exactly the opposite, in my view. But Harry, what is your view on this?
Well, I would add Russia to the equation as well. Initially, I believe President Obama thought he could reach Russia through Iran. And if you think about it, he has reached Russia through Iran in terms of this Iranian nuclear deal, because the Iranians have purchased billions of dollars of military supplies through Russia. It hasn't worked out perfectly, even according to the Obama scenario, but one of the great things about President Obama is that he was gifted with lots of illusions. And his worldview ultimately will and should collapse.
All right. Don't forget our matching challenge campaign at ACLJ.org. It's the last day. If cases like this make a difference for you and for our country, then help us. Join us at ACLJ.org. You can donate there, and any amount you donate, we get a matching gift for ACLJ.org. We're here for another half hour. Logan's going to let you know how you can get all the information.
That's right. If you want to find us, we're broadcasting live right now online. That's at ACLJ.org and on social media, Facebook.com/JaySeculo, Twitter at JaySeculo. You can find us on Periscope as well. You can also get us archived later on the ACLJ app.
This is a critical time for our nation and the issues that matter most to you and your family. In a world immersed in chaos and confusion, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending life and liberty. If you haven't done so already, this is the perfect time to join the American Center for Law and Justice. Join now. Call 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can do so online, aclj.org.